of sunshine. AM Quad Cities, News Talk 1420, WOC with Dan and Dan. Good morning. We are checking in now, as we do about every month or so, with U.S. Senator Charles Grassley from the great state of Iowa. Senator, good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Are both Dans there or just one?
No, you got both of us.
Double Dan today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're ganging up on me, but that's okay.
What do you make of the Supreme Court list that Donald Trump, he threw out some nominees yesterday. He had a pretty long list of people that he might nominate for Supreme Court. And I know that, you know, you're getting heat from Republicans, too, saying, you know, the nominee that Obama made might be better than anyone that Hillary Clinton is going to be made. I know you're getting from all ends on this one. So what do you think of that list that Donald Trump came out with yesterday?
Well, first of all, on the last point, it's not about Garland. It's about an understanding that we've had for 30 years, most often spoken by Democrat senators, that when you have a vacancy on the Supreme Court during the last year of a presidency, then it should go over to the new president to make the nomination. And that gives the people an opportunity through the election to have a voice in the process. So it's not about Garland at all. And if it were about Garland, I would answer the accusation of some Republicans. Garland would be better than the rest. He's quoted in the newspapers as being a moderate, but so was Sotomayor and Kagan.
Right, right.
And you know how they've turned out. Now, on the other point you ask about I don't know whether he's committed to picking one of those 11 to put on the Supreme Court, or this is just 11 people that he's suggesting that these are the type of people he will consider. In other words, possibly people that aren't listed on the 11. But I can tell you this, that the one Iowan that's on there, Judge Colleton of Des Moines, is very much the sort of a person that even if we didn't have a Trump presidency, some other Republican was there, and we wanted a strict constructionist on the court, Colleton would fall into that pattern. And I recommended Colleton to George W. Bush to put on the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals, and he also clerked for Chief Justice Rehnquist. I think it's pretty clear that he's a good person to fill Scalia's vacancy, although I don't think you're going to ever find a person that's exactly like Scalia. He was just outstanding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, really. Hey, have you finalized your plans for the Republican convention yet? That seems to be the topic of conversation. Who's going, who's not going?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I want to make clear that I have gone for the entire convention since 1980, every one of them. And every time I've left, I said, I'm never going back again, but I've gone back. But this year, I said I wasn't going to go back at all. Now, I think what I'm going to do is go there for 2 days so that I can interact with the Iowa delegates and thank them for their service to the convention and to the Republicans of Iowa, and interact with them probably for 48 hours of the 5-day convention.
So have you gotten the hotel? Because I remember last time we talked to you, you were kind of you were unhappy, as was I, because we got the media note too. You can't book a hotel for just a couple of days out there. You have to, if you're going to book one, it's got to be for the whole convention.
Yeah, and I'm going to be sleeping where I get a very cheap rate.
Okay,
and,
good.
And it isn't a 5-year commitment or 5-day commitment.
Good. Okay, you can stay at the Hojo or something, or you can stay at the Holiday Inn Express. That way, you could do anything when you get to the convention.
If I told you how cheap it was, you wouldn't believe me.
What do you make, Senator Grassley, of the new Labor Department's overtime wage rules?
Well, can I read to you something that my daughter sent to me after evidently just finding out about it?
Uh-huh.
And I'm getting on my iPhone now.
Okay.
She's got a little business of about 8 or 9 employees in Cedar Falls, Iowa, and she does trade association management. And she just heard about this for the first time, and she said, they must be kidding, explanation. Then she went on and said, so I have to cut everyone's salary to cover the overtime that I would otherwise have to pay. So Obama wants me to cut my people's wages. How is that for helping out, quote unquote, the little guy? And it isn't because of my daughter. There would be some legitimacy of increasing the salary from $23,000, let's say, to $28,000, $29,000, or $30,000. But when they double it, what they're going to do is get a lot of college kids that are working part-time for the universities, probably cut out of working part-time. Now, how's that for a president's complaining about the high cost of education,
right,
and people want to work to go to college? It's going to cost the University of California $93 million for their university system. Then I had nonprofits in here last week complaining about it because most of the people that work for nonprofits have very flexible schedules, and in that case, some of those people are not going to have the flexibility they would normally have. And then for just small businesses, like my daughter's as an example, it's very egregious. But the impact is supposed to be helping the workers. But the workers that telecommute, as an example, are you going to make them come into the office for the hours that they work so you can keep track of the number of hours they work so you know whether you have to pay overtime or not pay overtime? A lot of people get fringe benefits of computers at home and Blackberries and stuff like that so they can work on the run. How are you going to keep track of paying them? So the flexibility of the worker, and I'll bet you there's more women that have flexible work schedules than men, and so it's going to be anti-woman as well.
Well, that's a great point. I didn't think about the whole answering your email thing at home, because or you're just not going to be allowed to answer. Is your employer going to say, hey, go home? You know, if you get an email after, say, 5 o'clock.
Yeah, turn off your phone.
Not allowed to answer. Yeah. That's a good point. I never thought of.
Well, that's the way I understand it. You have to pay them. You have to keep track of every minute they're working.
Yeah. Seems a lot of things that this administration does that's supposed to help the poor or to help middle-class people kind of does the opposite.
Well, this is a perfect example of it,
yeah.
and it's just particularly college students, you know, that may not have part-time jobs now. How's the University of California? That state's busted anyway. How are they going to afford another $93 million if they keep doing what they're doing right now?
Yeah. Hey, Senator, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the Wounded Warrior Project. I know that you've taken a good hard look at that. You've been drilling down on that. What have you found?
Well, no conclusions yet, because we don't have answers to all of our questions on the Wounded Warrior Program. And I think it's a good program. I think they've done a lot of good. But we do have some evidence coming from people that worked inside. You can call them whistleblowers if you want to. That there's been some money contributed by well-meaning people to help wounded workers that's been wasted. And one evidence of that may be the fact that the president either resigned or was forced out, as an example.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd better not go any further until I get evidence so I can draw some conclusions.
All right, fair enough. What about the IRS oversight? I know Jason Chaffetz is over in the House side. He's trying to get John Koskinen to testify, be more open in helping, because they're trying to track out, trying to see how much Lois Lerner and that whole story, you know, where they were going after basically conservative organizations. He's talking about censuring Koskinen, which would mean he wouldn't get a pension. He would not. What do you make of that? Do you think the IRS has been helpful enough in this investigation, or have they been stonewalling the whole thing?
They've been stonewalling the whole thing. And not only is stonewalling it, but when the president said, we're going to look into this and we're going to do something about it, he hasn't kept his word. And who did he appoint in the Justice Department to investigate the IRS scandal in the Obama administration? They appointed somebody who was a bundler of campaign contributions to the last Obama campaign. And that you're not going to get an unbiased opinion from a guy like that.
How can that, I mean, why, you would think the media, that would be something they would explode over. But it doesn't seem they want, I mean, there's so many times where you see something, there's so much evidence out there, but the media doesn't want a story to be true, so they just do what they can to bury it.
Well, number one, the liberals, or the media is liberal to begin with, and to protect Democrats more than Republicans, because if this happened in a Republican administration,
right,
it would blow up. Or look at some of the things that they're writing about Trump that they don't write about Hillary. But also, to answer your question, the ones of them that are in the White House press corps are very much intimidated by the White House press staff, that if they write something that is negative about the president,
right,
they may not get the inside sometime.
Right. And we know that. We've heard from people that have worked there that that's what happens. So we know that's going on. So, all right.
Real quickly, women in the draft, that's kind of become a topic up here. How do you stand on that?
Well, first of all, I'm not for the draft in the first place.
Right.
But we have to have a list of names that you call the draft just in case we get into war and not enough people voluntarily join. But we want to keep the professional military we've had since 1972, because we haven't drafted people since 1972. And we get more for our money if people willingly serve and like what they're doing. And so it's better for our national defense. It probably saves the taxpayers money. But draft is kind of involuntary servitude. You'd need it if you got into a worldwide situation again. And then why women in the draft? I've taken a position that women ought to have equal opportunity with men as much as possible. Now, the only much as possible that would be an exception would be based upon what are the conditions that a woman has to meet to carry out the mission of the company that they're going to be a part of. They have to be able to do the same thing the man can do. And under those circumstances, women ought to have equal rights with men.
Yeah, but equal rights is a little bit different than, you know, taking away the choice of whether to sign up. So
yeah.
So I guess what I'm saying is, you know, because men have to sign up for the list, they have to go under on selective service. Should women have to do the same thing? Should they have to be compelled to do it?
My answer to that is yes, or else men shouldn't have to do it.
Okay, right. Fair enough.
Fair enough. Yeah. Senator Grassley, it's always good to chat with you. Thanks. We'll do it again soon, all right?
Okay, goodbye. Thank you.
Goodbye.
Thanks.
It's U.S. Senator Charles Grassley. He's up in Dubuque this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Gave an address to a businessman's group up there. So it is 8:51. Dan and Dan, this is AM Quad Cities here at WOC.